This is a lecture entitled, "The Rainbow is Round, When Seen from Above." And we're going to talk about the aura and the dream. Things which we don't talk about too much. But the rainbow is round when seen from above. If you've ever been in an airplane and had a chance to see a rainbow below, it will be round. We see part of it when we are here. And in the rainbow is all color. In the rainbow is the light of Christ. All color, all energy, all vibration. So what we're talking about this morning is the word of our Lord. As we see it, and I've talked about this week, as we see with our inner self, and as we listen from within ourselves to the vibrations and the energies that are around us, there is indeed something afoot in the universe. I'm going to read a little bit out of this book, dated 1914. And rather than paraphrasing it, it just made sense to read it, because this is written so much better than I could paraphrase it. All created things are the expression of coarser or finer vibrations. Hence, the voice of conscience, or the word, manifesting through exceedingly high and fine vibration, finds it difficult to call forth a response from a mind given over entirely to worldly affairs and consequently attuned to a much lower rate of vibration, which we found out this week. We are attuned to the lower vibrations. But if the voice is listened for and an effort is made to follow its guidance, it has the power to create conditions in which it can manifest more plainly. Since during involution, which is the whole development of creation, the word of the Lord, or divine law, penetrating through all the spheres, created the heavens, or the firmament, and the earth, and thereby incorporated itself with every particle of matter composing them, so during evolution, our time here on earth, must it evolve back to its source, lifting up or redeeming all through which it has manifested, thus creating a new heaven and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. The creative word manifests through nature as tone, color, form, and number, just as a written word is composed of numbers, letters, which are symbols, syllables, and the meaning expressed. Hence, every tone in nature, be it song of bird, roar of beast, or thunder of heaven, be it tinkle of fountain, surge of ocean, or rustle of leafy boughs, is an expression of the word. And not a note in nature could be left out, and the creative word be complete. Could man respond to and manifest his true vibration, his keynote, in the creative word, with the single-mindedness of nature, all would be peace, harmony, and love. Man alone strikes a discordant note, not only in himself, but also in the noises of his creations, factory whistles, the street noises, etc. And the effect of this inharmony is impressed upon all creation, so that thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. 1914. Could man respond to and manifest his true vibration, his keynote, all would be peace, harmony, and love. True vibration, the still, small voice. We are, in truth, governed by what we see and hear and taste and touch and feel. And if it doesn't fit, chances are it doesn't exist. And we've been learning this week about color and the vibration of color, the energy of color, that it exists in us, it exists around us. And what happened this week as we worked with this, I realized something that is annoying, which I will share again next week, that color in its energy, not physical energy, not E equals MC squared, but the music of the spheres, the inner voice. When we look at color and we live color, we live the Trinity. The Trinity is right here in all of the vibrations, in all of the energies that we see, we hear, we touch, we taste, and we smell. That this, obviously, through our humanness, these senses are our avenue. But often they become the end result. We stop right there. And this table becomes an entity unto itself. We forget that it's made up of vibrating molecules. Everything in this table is moving. The aura. This is something that...
Can we close that door?
That's a good idea. Thank you. Emerson said, "I can't hear what you say, for what you are is shouting so loudly in my ears." I can't hear what you say, for what you are is shouting at me so loudly. We have energy within us. We are energy. We have energy around our bodies. And I'm hoping I did bring... set this up as we talk. This is a very sophisticated experiment. You can tell Bob Talley, thank you. He sent me the directions for it. They arrived on Tuesday. Highly scientific. I'm just going to let it sit here for a minute. You can watch it turn. We have around us a band of energy. We've seen it in the pictures that exist in most of our churches. You'll see Jesus with a halo. You'll see the prophets and the visionaries pictured with either this way or this way, a halo. Sometimes the whole body is pictured with a halo. And in the Old Testament times, people allowed their consciousness to slip away enough to be able to see and sense the vibrations around them. Not something occult or magical or bad. When the aura or the dream or anything else is used to manipulate other people, then it is not a good thing. It is evil and it is an invasion of privacy. What I want to share with you this morning is simply the fact that we have an energy which reaches out from our physicalness. It joins with other people. It receives the word. It is a very natural property of our body. And when we talk about dreams, I'll read a quote out of here that presents a little bit what is reality. But this is a very natural phenomenon that does exist. When the physical is allowed to flow away a little bit, one can often see an aura in color. A few years ago, I practiced at seeing auras, and I took a lot of Excedrin. You can practice it. Now, as I am sensitive to an aura, I will see something when it is important to see it. And 2 weeks ago, I saw an aura around a guest pastor speaking at our church. And every time he said, "the victory," and he was speaking of the communion, "the victory," there was this marvelous, just flowing of color through him, and he was literally empty and letting the word of the Lord come through him. It's a very exciting thing to see. And hoping, you know, trying to get the congregation to participate in this gift. And as we work from within the higher consciousness and allow the light of Christ to be within us, which is shedding our humanness and letting go of all the stuff around us and who we are and where we're going and how we're getting there and so forth. We let go of this. Then we can be attuned to what is there. And dreams and auras are two things that are right there with us if we listen. The aura, and we're going to feel it, and there, this very sophisticated experiment here will show us something of the energy that exists. And I'm going to have you feel the energy field that exists around your neighbor. It simply is there. It's no magical thing. But the aura does have two parts. And what we're talking about is the aura part that generally is about this wide around a person. There are said to be seven parts of it. I'm not going into the parts and all of that sort of thing. But closer to the center is your nature, what vibrations you are. The vibrations and the energy that you are come forth in colors you choose. I was just talking about this with Anne, and I'll have you share this a little bit later, a couple of things you said. The colors that you are, that you wear, that you use in your house, that you like, that you don't like. Those, aside from being colors, are energies that you are responding to. Yellow, you may get put yellow on and it doesn't feel good. You say, boy, I look rotten in that, take that up and hang it in the closet and pick something else. And I talked earlier this week about a blind friend who picks her clothes out by sensing the color in her closet. And can color coordinate just as well as you or I, because she can match those vibrations. And she's in tune enough with herself to know where she is. Well, this will look good. I'll feel good in this today. You do the same thing. But what you're not aware of is that you're responding to the energy that exists throughout your body and through this aura. And if I see your aura, or if you see an aura around somebody else, you can tell pretty well how they're feeling. And this is a very natural thing. The different colors, I'm not going to go into the meanings of all of the different colors, but the different colors have different vibrations, and you will match them to yourself. We do it through sound also, and I'm going to do some study this weekend and into next week and see if I can't include tonality with this. The symphonies that we listen to, the type of music we like, except for hard rock, which I'm not sure matches any tonality on this earth. My youngest child is listening to that comment, I'm sure. But the tonality of music and sound matches color, and each tone vibration, we see it in a violin string, and you see it vibrate, that's what we're talking about. The vibration in a certain tone matches the vibration in a certain color. So there's certain tones you like. There's certain tones, certain pieces that will make you feel comfortable. There are certain tonalities when put together are going to make you feel very uneasy, or sad, or uplifting. Same with color. And the aura is right there within all of this energy. So the aura, through meditation and through prayer, through letting go of the self, can relax and expand. When your inner self reaches out by letting go of who you are, and this is what Christ tells us we need to do, is to relax and let go and let the word flow through us. When we do this, this aura does expand, like that of the pastor I saw a couple of weeks ago, and it does reach out to other people. And in that is the harmony and the peace and the love spoken of in this book many years ago. If we hang tightly to who we are and where we are and what we're doing and our problems, and those problems in Nicaragua are way out there and Africa is way out there, and the breadbasket of the Midwest, the problems they're having, they're not mine. When we come in very close and we say, my problems are right here and I've got these bills to pay and this to do, your aura comes right in here and stays there. Your energy is all right around your body. And when I see that, I see somebody very encapsulated. You'd see it too without seeing the aura. And what you're seeing, you're sensing. I sense that that person is in this position or that position. You actually are relating not only to, as a person may look just as I do, but you'll sense something. And what you're doing, your inner eye is probably perceiving this aura. And you can tell something about people without actually talking to them. So this expansion of the aura is something of the shared universal energy. I prefer to call it universal energy as opposed to cosmic energy, because you kind of see little funny people running around out in the cosmos. We may have had a little too much Star Trek 2001 and E.T., but it is this expansion of space. You know about space. You get in an elevator, there are four people, and you say, get out of my space. Nobody's touching you. Or in a crowded room, nobody's touching you. Last summer, Dale Jompkar did an exercise with us in this room. There were probably about as many of us as there are you. And he had us put our hands in front of us and then run just around each other, around this room, and nobody bumped into anybody. You're working with an energy field. And you hit the energy field and move away. You don't hit the person and move away. And he kept saying, faster, faster. And we were really tearing around this room. And nobody bumped into anybody. Kind of neat. Do you have any questions before we experience the aura? Yes.
Do we experience these vibrations from our human situation? In other words, you tie it in with Christ.
Yes.
A Buddhist will tie it in with Buddha.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
If we see black, it may make a vibration of death or somber. And for a Buddhist, white would do the same thing.
All right. This, as far as whether we, I've also been told to more or less repeat the questions for the tape. Whether we sense these vibrations from our humanness.
Mm-hmm.
They come through our humanness. Black and white, black rather than being of death, is an unknown area. And one of hope, expectation, to us in the human level, it has come to mean death. White, when you reach in, when you reach totality and you are ready to die, you are within a total state, that of white, which is all color. In other words, death is a movement forward. And so for the Buddhists, the white is very definitely a positive coming together of all experienced on the earth. Black and white, when you're dealing with light, black is the absence of color. It also contains all the colors that we don't see. We now have indigo, which can be seen. It's a combination of the secondary colors emerging from black if seen through certain shades of purple. So both black and white hold totality. Any other questions about the aura? I'd like you to pick a partner and one person sit and the other stand behind the person sitting. Okay? So let's do this. You don't have to know the person, or you can. There aren't going to be any great revelations about whether you had breakfast this morning or not, or whatever. Okay, I will work with you. This will work, and then we can work together. Okay. What I want you to do, as you're standing and as you're sitting, just to relax, I'd like you to take in a deep breath. Close your eyes, relax, breathe out. Take in another deep breath, and relax. Just let your shoulders relax. Now, place your hands about 18 inches either side of the person's head. Now, the way I do this is just to bring them in slowly, just moving them a little bit until you feel a difference in energy. Close your eyes. Now I can come in about this far and I feel something against my fingers. I can move it up and down. It feels a little perhaps like heat. Now you sitting there may feel a hand coming toward you. I sometimes have a very warm right hand. People will go this way. Can you feel just a density, a little bit of change in your hands? It feels a little like heat. Move your hands up around the top of the head, back them away, and come in again. Just let your shoulders relax, and just sense it. You can go down the shoulders. You sitting there, if you feel, you may feel the energy from the hands around you. Okay, bring your hands away. They may tingle a little bit. Could you feel something? It's hard to identify. And it's not anything, as you'll see when we use this experiment up here, it's nothing that moves fast or hard. Let's change places, and then I'm going to have you do something between your own two hands. And then we'll do both of your hands. Your own energy. And take a deep breath again. Inhale deeply. And relax. Inhale again. And relax.
Okay. Now put your hands out, maybe 18 inches. Begin to bring your hands in. The person sitting, if you close your eyes, see if you can feel the passage into your aura. Now I feel the right hand very definitely.
Make her feel hot.
Mm-hmm. We've called it body heat, and there is a certain amount of body heat, but it is a different energy. Move your hands back and forth, move them up around the top of the hip. Out, come back in again, see if you can feel. It's very subtle. It can, to the person sitting, be very, very soothing without ever touching the person. Okay. What do you sense in your hands? A little tingling, maybe? Put your hands about this. Bring your hands from a position maybe 10 inches. Start to bring them toward each other. Move back and forth and up and down. If you close your eyes to do this, you feel what feels like a magnetic polarity. Almost buffeting your hands or pushing them apart. You feel it? That is your energy. Very clearly discernible between your hands. We have the laying on of hands. I work in a rehab center, and I, without patients realizing, I am drawing color and using color healing. And our hands, can you see what is there for us to work with? Generally, you will have a receiving, a hand with which you receive better, and a hand which will give better. Hence, there is some polarity between your hands. Any questions about that? Many questions.
Is it possible to also get a kind of sensation in the head if you're receiving?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It may tingle a little bit. That is somebody within your aura. It's almost like a scalp massage.
Yeah.
Without ever touching the person.
Is that the combination of the two energies that causes that? Is that your own, or is that the other person's?
It is a combination of both. If you are consciously sending energy through, which I do when I put my hands on a patient's shoulders, I am bringing one-way energy through to that person, either to calm the person or, you know, we do it, and when we do that to someone, it says, I care. And what you're passing, you're sharing a lot of what is right here that comes through us to the other person.
Mm-hmm. What about hugging?
Hugging is a wonderful, that's the best medicine we have, and it's free. Hugging is a sharing of energies and vibrations. We need to be touched. And what is that touch? I mean, I can be touched, you know, I can run up against a table or a chair or something, but what is it between two human beings that is shared in touch? It is this wonderful vibration, music of the spheres, universal, whatever you wish to call it. It is within the light of Christ. Yes.
What about people that resent being heard? There are people that...
Certainly they do. I was married to someone who was a mechanical engineer, and somebody had observed him hug, and it was like a refrigerator, who really resent it, who cannot handle it, who cannot relax. Their lives are so in control, their own control, that you cannot let go of anything. And the aura will be very close, and they don't like to be hugged, because that is something that you need to return. Yes. In a congregation, and
everybody else is just, so to speak, totally disappeared.
And the communication is between you and the pastor. Yes, this is, it is a very special...
Didn't know if I was coming berserk or what?
No, that is a very wonderful passage of energy that comes right through a pastor. When a pastor is able to relax and be the empty vessel, and you are also, and you can receive the flow that comes through the pastor to you, and maybe to the person five seats down. Hopefully it reaches someone in the congregation. And this is what I felt very much a few weeks ago as this was passed out. I know I received it. And that is a wonderful celebration. It is a wonderful celebration. Yes?
It is, in effect, the Holy Spirit, then, isn't it?
Yes, of course it is. And as we empty ourselves, of what? Empty ourselves.
Of ourselves.
Yes, of all the stuff that is earthly. As we empty ourselves of the humanness, we can allow this to occur. And of course it is the whole, it is the totality and the will of God speaking through us as the light of Christ.
How and do we do that, though?
By not doing anything. By being. By simply letting go of the stuff. Watched people come up the second day I was here. People coming up to Holden, all concerned about their luggage. Got to get our luggage. We've got to get our stuff. And... and putting it in the right place and attending to all, and do we get to meals on time, and where do we go for this and that, never looking at the mountains, never simply relaxing and not doing, not trying to do, but simply being and relaxing. I can't believe that Jesus meant us to simply attend to our luggage and all of the stuff around us. Sell everything you own. Give up everything and follow me. That's what we're talking about. It's giving up. It's not doing or taking on, but it is giving up our luggage.
I was thinking, yes, when we were doing the aura thing on each other, I definitely could feel the energy around mm-hmm. this person. But when she was had her hands over me, I don't think I felt anything. Is that something to say? Something about my receptivity? And
no.
I mean, is it saying something about being
feeling
able to
the
experience
aura,
that?
You may or may not feel somebody else's energy coming through your aura, whereas you may feel it when you are going through somebody else's aura. The energies blend from one person to another. It can be a state of relaxation. And it can simply be that vibrations matched. And you didn't feel a change, a different vibration working there. So it doesn't mean that you were missing something or not feeling something that you might otherwise have. That's with another person, it would be different. We're all different. Yes?
No, I've had that experience in my life maybe twice in the church. And I was taught maybe I had my legs crossed or a numbness or something. And I tried to get it. It's a wonderful feeling, though. And it just lasts so long.
Yes?
Last time, I think, was Minneapolis. It was a cousin that was preaching. I don't know, I can't figure that it was the Holy Spirit working, except that I think there is mental telepathy, and he didn't know I was going to come, but I'm sure he saw me, and some kind of a feeling went on that was unusual.
Yes, when there is an unusual feeling that you experience, what is the first thing we try to do? Explain it. My legs were crossed. I went numb. Whatever. We will try to fit it, and we should. Shoulds are another thing that we need to let go of. But we have a need from our humanness, let's put it that way, to try to fit it in. And then if it doesn't fit, are we open enough to entertain the idea that possibly something else was working through us? We seem to need to work from our humanness out. And it's very difficult to simply accept something that happens as mental telepathy. All that is vibrations through the air from mind to mind. They're there. You've had intuitions. You may have been thinking about somebody and see that person the next day. You may know who's on the other end of the phone. There are a couple of people, when the phone rings, I know who it is. And do you have that experience? Where something may happen, or you may feel that, gee, I need to get in touch with so-and-so, and they contact you. You know, this happens. It's perfectly natural. These things are out there. If they're not used as manipulatory schemes, they're perfectly natural. Well, I have an experiment here. I'm just trying to leave enough time for all of our questions. And also a short discussion about dreams. Right, this, when Joanne and Bob stood up and said they were from Marilla, New York. Now, not there are four people in Marilla, New York. I now know all four of them. I have a dear friend who lives in Marilla, New York, who is an astrophysicist, works for the government, and I've known Bob and his wife, Ann, for 25 years. So Bob is working on the physical plane, in physics, with the same energies that I'm working with from the spiritual end. In the last 15 years, our work has paralleled, and we talk maybe twice a year. I've been in the Midwest and then out here gone from Buffalo, New York for 20 years. And Tuesday, I had talked to him last week. And yes, again, we were at the same point. And Tuesday, he sent me a packet of all of this stuff he had from a conference in Canada that he had attended. And in that was this wonderful experiment. And we've had it on the desk in the room where I am, and various people come in and try it. And what this does is simply show that with the energy of your hands that you felt, right, you will turn this drum. Would somebody like to come up? And I'll just show you what you're going to do. You will all have a chance to try this. And let's pull a chair up. And you can sit right here. Okay. Okay, and we'll stop this. Finding the olive jar was the hardest thing. And Paula and I walked out of our room in Chalet 3, and there was this jar sitting on the... Paula said, well, guess this was supposed to be there. Okay, I'd like you to cup your hands and bring them around the cylinder, but don't touch it.
This way?
Mm-hmm. And just relax and bring your hands in slowly so that they're quite close to the cylinder. Now the cylinder will begin to rock. I'll cup them a little bit more. You might bring them underneath a little bit. Now this isn't turning, it doesn't turn terribly quickly.
It's turning.
Okay, and bring them back up. And I've found that holding my hands this way will also turn it. Rock.
It's moving.
Just form a circle around the top this way and see what that does. Well, I'm still experimenting with this.
It's going.
Well, it's changing.
Mm-hmm. Last night we had two fingers like this because somebody said it's heat. So Gary Santum put two fingers on it and it began to turn and then he began to rock it this way. Okay, bring your hands out this way. Okay, now see what happens. Yours wants to rock and not turn, which is...
Okay.
Yeah, it will eventually... Somebody else? One other person want to try it? And then I'm going to leave this here. And
I'm trying because I'm a skeptic.
Fine.
What about the friend who gave you this? Was the friend who gave you this?
Mm-hmm.
What is his explanation of this? I mean,
he is working with an alternative energy force to E equals MC squared. We are running out of energy, and what they are turning to in the scientific field is cosmic energy. So he is saying, of course, this is we have the aura. We have the propensity to work up to other forces of energy. We can communicate with this, and we need to use this. So within the field of physics, this is a measurable experiment.
He's opposite, though. It's going the other way, isn't it?
Skeptic is making it go.
We had quite an intellectual discussion last night about which way the water goes down the drain, which has, you know, the same thing about this, which way does this turn? It will turn either way. Well, when you get it turning again, slowly move your hands out. Now, of course, we have breezes, and usually it turns counterclockwise, we have found. And standing in the middle of the bathtub, I discovered the same to be true with water. But
unless you lived on the other side of the world.
That's right. That's where our discussion came.
I have a mantle clock that works on energy.
Mm-hmm. From heat. That, I think, is solar.
It's
solar. Okay, now move your hands out. And it may go the other way and just... Mm-hmm. It should just stop as the energy is brought away from the drum. And then it will just stop. Mm-hmm. There is energy. Even to skeptics. You can go back and tell Bob the experiment works. And this is here for everyone to sit down and try. The aura, the energy, the vibration, the color, the passage of color through us, the passage of energy and vibration through us is real. On into dreams. I'm going to read just a very short paragraph. You have been taught that life on Earth is the real world and that dreams are only fantasy. Actually, it's the other way around. The dream world is your real world, the spiritual level, where the spiritual in you lives. And Earth is a testing ground, a place for getting experience, for learning to understand how your mental ideas become physical reality. And something from the Talmud, a dream which is not understood is like a letter which is not opened. Dreams. We work with the same energy, the same letting go. When we go to sleep at night, our conscious level, our luggage is let go. And in our subconscious, we work a lot of things through. And they come back to us often in symbols. Someone here will say, I don't dream. Does anybody not dream? Okay, everybody here at least.
My husband says he doesn't dream.
Okay, my husband, the mechanical engineer, wouldn't dare have a dream, you see. But you do dream or you'd be stark raving mad. Because part of what happens in dreams is resolving what happened during the day, letting it go, refreshing your mind so it can be relaxed in the morning. All of this occurs in the dream state. Along with it, you may look very sharply at yourself. You may get a dream that tells you something about where you are or what you're doing. And this is an excellent symbol book. The symbols with which we present ourselves in dreams are much as they are when we meditate, and I have a group presently going through a series of meditations about areas of their life which they are working on. And one meditation last night, one fellow working with transition, what came through was a whole series of roadways and clover leaves and cars moving in all directions. I said, you really are in transition. Your mind is telling you that that is where it is right now. It's okay. Cars are traveling somewhere. They're not at a standstill. You are going somewhere. It is not defined yet which roadway you're taking. But that is a dream when awake. And you will have the same sorts of things when you're asleep, and you will awaken with a feeling, a good feeling, a bad feeling, an anxious feeling, a relaxed feeling. All of this is part of the dream, the subconscious, which can be dropped consciously in meditation, and something like that which occurred last night can occur. I suggested to this man that he, and this can happen with a dream, ask that a roadway be pointed out to him if there is one, and he can go back into meditation or ask this of a dream before you go to sleep and ask that you deal with a certain situation without the luggage of the conscious body. Do any of you remember your dreams? How do you remember? Do you just remember them when you wake up, or do you do something?
I remember the emotion of them.
Okay.
If it's really a striking dream, you know, if I go over the detail to myself, and then perhaps if I tell somebody, then I will really remember it. Sometimes it's very clear, but if I get busy with other things, I completely forget it.
It will go.
If the dream wakens me, I remember it at that moment when I'm awake. And later, in the morning when I want to tell her about it, it's gone.
All right, when you wake up in the middle of the night,
with something that you have been dreaming, write it down. Write down two or three key words. There's a reason you woke up. There is something going on in the subconscious that is knocking and saying, let's talk about this. And you will, you think, well, I can't possibly forget this dream by morning. But you will. I leave a pad and a pencil beside the bed. And without turning the light on, I will write down a few key words. In the case of the vision or the envisioning, imagining, imaging last night, I might have written down many crossroads, many cars, or something like that. And that anything that will trigger the memory of the dream. Talking about it is helpful if you come across somebody to talk about it with before you forget it. But there is a reason for dreams like this that you remember. And your subconscious is trying to help you deal with some things. Maybe you have a decision of jobs. And you have a strong dream, and I'm really just reaching here, but you have a strong dream of standing in water. Well, you learn that water is spirituality. Maybe you need to pray about it. It's not going to say, well, you ought to take this job or you ought to take this job. But the answers are there if you do this. And working with these subconscious energies, the information given to us is going to be of a spiritual nature. It's going to be helpful. It may be rather harsh on the luggage part of our life, telling us that we may be running around not attending to things in the manner in which the inner being would prefer, and the subconscious. And we need to learn to listen to these things, which you can do by the better part, just recording and reacting to what you are dreaming. You can re-enter a dream if you do remember it, and you say, well, wait a minute, I woke up before the dream was finished. You can lie down, relax, envision yourself walking down a long, winding, scared staircase, and when you get to the bottom, you are re-entering your dream. What you have done during that walk down that staircase is simply let the luggage go. And you will be able to re-enter your dream. Not without practice. Can't remember your dreams without practice either. If you wish to remember your dreams, say the night before, as you go to sleep, I will remember my dream. If you wish to address something that's going on, present that problem to yourself and say, I will remember in the morning what I dream. Now this can take up to a week. It's a discipline, like everything else in our life. And it is much along the line of the prayer discipline, the meditation discipline, in which we take time to allow what is within us to speak. And we listen. So the dream is a very natural part of our being, just as the aura is. Nightmares. You have a nightmare and something facing you that is really, one gal told me this summer about running through a house and being chased through this old house, room after room after room, and every night she went to sleep, she was running and running and running, and upstairs and downstairs and so forth. And as I addressed with her the levels of consciousness, she is just running away from herself. There were things that she just simply didn't want to face, so they were chasing her all over the place. She'd wake up in the morning very tired. Turn and face whatever it is chasing you. It will never harm you. It will never harm you, no matter what it is, demons, rats, whatever.
they will either melt as you take them, you know, you turn and face them and have the courage to do so, or there will be an explanation of what it is. And I told this girl to turn and face whatever it was. She said, well, all I see is me. I said, aha. And then we talked about some of what was happening there. The dreams are there to help us. One final bit of reading, and then any questions, and this experiment sits here waiting to be tried. As man advances and learns to listen to the still small voice, and as the word unfolds within his heart and manifests in his life, so will the tones of his voice grow more tender and loving and lose their power to wound. Thus will he become more able to comfort and cheer, to lead and command. For he then expresses more of the creative power of the word, until at last the word is made flesh and manifests continually. This is the secret of the power of great speakers, for they express, to a greater or lesser degree, the creative power of the word, and literally create within the minds of their hearers that which they wish to impress upon them. The pronunciation of the word is a question of manifesting its guidance in the life, for every discord in the life produces a false note in the voice. Strive, therefore, to be absolutely true to the word, and be willing to face yourself and to find and express truth in every tone and action. Thus will you learn to take your true place and express your true keynote in the grand symphony of life. Any questions now? Yes?
In the area of dreams, if dreams are the psychological release of tensions and so on, as you indicated, and then you train yourself to remember them, are you defeating the purpose of dreams?
Not at all. Are you defeating the purpose of dreams as psychological release if you try to remember them? No, quite the contrary. You will facilitate dreams. They are a message to be heard. But if we don't hear it, nothing is going to happen. So the act of trying to remember is not one done from the human element. The remembering is done from within also, where the dream comes from. And you may even be able to dream, and have you ever awakened having had some symbolic dream and the answer to it is also in the dream, like, you dummy, let's get this right, you know, I'm not going to leave this one to chance. Your mind seeks the answers and wants the whole being to be in harmony. So seeking the answers will probably facilitate more dreams, and you can go deeper and deeper within your subconscious as the dreams build. Also, as if you will journal your dreams, you will find an answer for your dream now. 2 years later, and Emerson dealt with this a great deal, 2 years later you go back to the dream and it's sort of an aha experience. Oh, that's what it meant. It will address you where you are at that time, because it is your dream from within you. And I have dreams from 2-3 years ago, which I still go back to and can, I will think, I better go take a look at that. Somewhere in there, a year or two ago, I had a dream. Go back to it and there'll be some answers there. They are your questions and your answers. Yes?
I'm wondering, when you dream about a particular person, doesn't seem to fit into the dream. Sometimes they do, but sometimes that person is just the person, the actor, so to speak. Is it just happenstance? Maybe you've experienced that person recently. Why they're reading? There's no connection, and you can't make any connection.
All right, if a particular person appears in your dream, generally there is a quality of that person which your subconscious would like you to address. There may be something that you need to develop in your own being that is there in that person, or likewise, something that you'd better be wary of, that you have seen in another person.
One more quick question. It seems like in recent years I've dreamed many times, woke up from the dream or saw myself falling through the dream. There are people who are just completely clear cut people, and I've never seen those people before. And
right.
I wonder where they come from.
Well, the people who you've never seen before are parts of your inner thinking, parts of your subconscious. They may, depending on how they're dressed and who they are and so forth, they will represent parts of your being, parts of your subconscious.
They're the ordinary people, but they're very real. They're very real people, and I'm sure I've never seen them and never known them.
They might also represent types of thinking, a group of children, immature thinking, groups of women, the emotional side of your thinking, a group of men, the logical side of your thinking, a group of older people, may be ideas that you're ready to shed. Then there can be a lot of things from which you can pull if it's a mixed group of people. There's a lot upon which to draw.
Well,